It's my job, he would say to himself. It's my job. I really don't have a choice. Zacchaeus had to learn how to let the angry comments and the hateful looks from the others just roll off like water on the back of a duck. I won't let them get to me, he would say to himself. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. That was his job, to collect taxes for Rome from his own people, his village neighbors, even his family. Zacchaeus was a Jew, and he is one of the main characters in our gospel story today. He was rich, and he was short, short in stature and short in vision. And he was probably a loner on the outside of his community. Maybe it was because he cheated people for his own gain. Or maybe it was from a life of being tormented because of his physical appearance. He was notably different. But Zacchaeus was separated from the rest of his community. And he couldn't see how to get himself out of the torturous life that he was living. He couldn't see how to help himself be reconciled with his community, something he couldn't see that he needed. He couldn't see the true man inside himself that longed for a different life, a different way, and neither could others. Think of his resentment, his defensiveness, his indignation. Think of his anger. He had endured years of being the outsider. Why should he have empathy with anyone in that crowd, the ones who wanted nothing to do with him? To them, Zacchaeus was the one who cheated them. He was corrupt. He was the despised tax collector. They hated him, and we may suppose that he hated them too. The very people he used to know so well couldn't see him as he really wanted, as he really needed to be seen. Then along came Jesus, and everyone's vision was about to change. Let's take a closer look at this story. It takes place in Jericho, near a toll booth on the road through Jericho. You see, there were two major highways in Israel at the time, and one went right through Jericho. Now remember, the story also takes place during Passover, when many people had to travel to Jerusalem. And they had to travel through Jericho because, well, let's look at it this way. Imagine that Jacksonville, just north of us, is Jerusalem. And there were Jews in, let's say, Gainesville, who needed to travel to Jacksonville for Passover, kind of like those who traveled here this weekend for the big event, a game. But while we might look at a map and expect them to travel up Highway 301 and then over on I-10, those roads went right through the areas that were occupied by the Palestinians and by the Samaritans, who were hostile to the Jews. So the Jews from Gainesville, needing to get to Jacksonville this big weekend, would have to travel a safer road, which would take them east to Palatka, over the bridge, and then up north through St. John's, and then on to Jacksonville. Now imagine that St. John's, right where we are, is Jericho. And as they came through St. John's, they would have to go through a sort of customs in order to get downtown to Jacksonville for that big event. And this particular weekend, lots of people have traveled to Jacksonville for that big event. Well, Jericho was the customs station. And since it was Passover time, tens of thousands of Jews were traveling from Galilee, going around Samaria because it was unsafe, and then coming through customs at Jericho, where they would have to pay a tax on every cow, every calf, and every camel that they were traveling with. And at this time, Jesus was also traveling through Jericho. And there was some huge excitement around Jesus, because he had done some pretty amazing things. He called Lazarus out of a tomb of death. He healed a blind man. And he even gave the honor of a wedding host back by turning water into wine. Word was being spread that he would be passing through Jericho, and the crowd was building on the sides of the road where Jesus would be passing. Men and women and children were gathering. Merchants and shepherds were gathering. Bread makers and carpenters, weavers and farmers, and a wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. They all gather to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passes through Jericho. Short in stature and short of vision, the unpopular tax collector determines that he will not be able to see over the heads of the crowd, and he runs ahead of where Jesus will pass, and he climbs a sycamore tree in order to get a view of this man, Jesus. There are a few things worthy of our attention here. And the first thing has to do with what is called an economy of words. Writing material was not abundant. And so most writers of Scripture used as few words as possible, just the necessary words, unless detail was important. And we all know that there are many stories in the Bible that don't give us much detail, and they leave much to our imagination. This story, though, has some interesting details given, such as Zacchaeus runs. He runs. That may sound innocent and easily go unnoticed, but men, dignified, powerful men, did not run. Adults did not run if they wished to avoid public shame. Zacchaeus runs. Dignified, powerful men did not climb trees, not then and not even today. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. And it wasn't just any tree. Now, here again, we're given a curious detail. Old Zac climbed a sycamore tree. We're given that detail. And so, why, we might wonder? Well, I believe the reason that we are given this specific detail goes beyond the fact that a sycamore tree has low-lying branches and is easy to climb and has large leaves behind which one could be camouflaged. You see, sycamore trees have been symbolic ever since the beginning of time in ancient spiritual writings. Even some very ancient hieroglyphics appear to have sycamore trees, and they symbolize the power of nature. In ancient mythology, the sycamore tree was thought to be the embodiment of three goddesses, Isis, Nut, and Hathor, who was called Lady of the Sycamore. And the sycamore tree was considered to be the tree of protection and favors. So we have to wonder, who else might Luke have been thinking he was writing for? Who else would have understood that symbolism? It was important that he included it. And then, sycamore trees were only allowed to be outside the town, a distance from the marketplace, a distance from the tax toll booths, a distance from all that had defined Zacchaeus. You see, for Zacchaeus, the sycamore tree was apart from where his only identity was, that of a despised person. The tree was that place where he had a true vision of Jesus. So Zacchaeus ran, and he climbed, and then he sat, catching his breath, and he waited. And soon he would hear the shouts of the people alongside Jesus, "Hosanna, the Son of David." And then through the leaves of the tree, he saw him, the man on a donkey coming up the road. Wow, what a view that tree was giving him. And then the donkey stopped. And the man on the donkey looked up over the branches and through the leaves, right into the short-sighted eyes of the short-statured man. "Zacchaeus, you need to come down from there. I'm coming to your home today." How does he know my name? Why me? What does he want from me? Thoughts poured into his head and then quickly left as he slid down the tree and stood in front of the one who had just given him the most important invitation of his life. And as he and Jesus went on their way, others were asking the same questions. How does Jesus know his name? Why him? What was Jesus thinking? And then some spitefully curious ones followed them. Now, we're not given any detail about the conversation between Jesus and old Zac as they traveled. But I have to imagine that moment when Zac opened his door to his rich home and Jesus entered. And I have to imagine that old Zac was a bit proud to show Jesus all that he had acquired. And I wonder, what did they talk about? What did Jesus say? And what did Zacchaeus hear? And I also have to wonder if they broke bread and shared a meal. A few hours later, the two come out of his home, and there are people standing nearby who have been there the whole time, consumed with the talk about Jesus going into Zacchaeus' home. They see them come out, and Zacchaeus has changed. At least that's how we often read this story. Zacchaeus, the sinner, is converted and pledges to change his ways. But here is a rub for us, and it comes from whichever translation we read. You see, the translation that we use in church is called the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It's a relatively new translation, as Bible translations go. It was released back in 1989, not too long ago. And it's a good translation. It's the one that we use. But there are other translations. You see, the Bibles that we have today for our purposes are in English. And they are not only from the scripture that has been translated from Hebrew, Aramaic, to Greek, and then to German, and then to English. But they also, and this is probably the more important thing to understand, they also are compiled from numerous hundreds of original manuscripts, hundreds of what are called codex, original handwritten manuscripts on ancient paper, like papyrus. Literally hundreds of centuries old codex, sometimes even just pieces of codex. They were studied, they were compared, and they were copied in order to put together the Bible that we have today. The Bibles, and I say Bibles, plural, because not all have been translated exactly the same. And this story and the words that Zacchaeus said is part of that rub. It's an example of differing translations from differing original codex. Listen to this. The translation that we heard today has Zacchaeus repentantly saying, "Half of my possessions, Lord, will I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much." And now some earlier translations, such as the King James Version and the predecessor to ours, the Revised Standard Version, they say something slightly different. Zacchaeus says, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Do you hear the difference? Our version and many other versions use what is commonly called futuristic present tense verbs. That is, Zac the sinner repents and vows that from now on he will change his ways. Whereas the other two translations I mentioned use a different tense. He already has the practice of giving to the poor. And if he has cheated, he repays 400%, which is way more than the 20% Jewish law required of him. In those translations, Zacchaeus is a man who has received the brunt of people's frustrations about the political system. That is, the Roman taxes. And he has had all sorts of false assumptions thrown on him. And if we follow the consistent message that we get in Luke's gospel throughout the gospel, Jesus is always surprising us with who is in the wrong and who is not, and with how very wide God's grip of grace really is. So which translation is more accurate? Well, you decide. And notice that what is not different, whether old Zac is a scoundrel repenting of taking advantage of others, or if he is simply a man feeling unworthy because of being stuck in a disgraceful job, there is a common theme in both: the abundant grace of God and the generous response one has when one encounters Jesus. So here are some questions for us today. Zacchaeus needed to run to the sycamore tree, and he needed to climb it. He needed to sit, and he needed to wait in that place where he would encounter Jesus. What or where is your sycamore tree? And have you run to it and climbed it lately? And how generous is your response to God's graces on you? And then lastly, do you relate more to old Zach? Or do you find yourself more often as one of the crowd?